Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, winds in my ears. I haven't felt this good in years. See all the people in the field all lined up in a row. We got a couple more long hours of work before it's time to go. We're all.
Hello, and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm psychologist Dr. Jim Weaver, along with psychotherapist Hughes Kraft, and we will be boldly going out into the potosphere once again where no therapists have gone before. Or, failing that, hopefully putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of life, love, and the search for a decent relationship. So, we've got an exciting show today with Doug Smith. We'll be talking to him in just a few minutes. First of all, I wanted to talk to you about the fridge magnet party that we're having at local 188 this Friday at 6 p.m. Hughes, are you there?
Jim, I'm here. Anytime you mention party, I am here.
All right, buddy. So we're going to have it at Local 188, one of Portland's great restaurants. I love Local 188. And you can come there and get a Darn Guys fridge magnet and celebrate the rapidly expanding popularity of Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists.
And the radio show. Is it the magnets are for the first 1,000 people that show up, right, Jim?
Oh, no. There will be a magnet for every listener of the Darn Guys.
Okay. Just sure.
As well as for everyone who ever even thought of listening to the Darn Guys. Ever. And also, don't despair if you can't be there. You can merely send in a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Darn Guys. I've mentioned this before, but I've forgotten to give the address. Just send it to the Darn Guys, 205 Ocean Avenue, Portland, Maine, 04103, and you will get your very own personal fridge magnet.
Or just wait for the next party.
Wait for the next party.
Or just wait for the next party.
That's right. And we're going to have some guests there this time. We're going to have Dr. Mark Kiefner, who, of course, will be with us later in the show with his Minute on the Mind with some brain research. The world-famous Rumor Girls media guru, Frank McMahon, and possibly a special mystery guest.
Oh, great.
Whose name everyone in Maine will recognize. And many people have said they want to meet this guy. Oops, I've narrowed it down by half. But anyway, they very well may be there. So that's the fridge magnet party, and our March guest, just to remind people, next week is Tunde Schwartz, the Pilates instructor extraordinaire and former Victoria's Secret model and La Perla model. So a chance to talk to a Victoria's Secret model or a former one, and the following Monday will be Dr. Bill Sandberg. We're going to talk about what's the latest with psychoanalysis, and he's a psychoanalyst, so we'll talk to him about that. So now it's time for our guest, and we're going to talk about somatic experiencing, focusing on the regulation, which it focuses on the regulation of stress, anxiety, mood, and self-control. Doug Smith is a licensed clinical professional counselor in private practice with a specialty in somatic experiencing, a method that uses deep body awareness to sense the activation of these symptoms and help dissolve them before they can fully develop themselves and articulate themselves. So, good morning, Doug, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Hughes. Thank you.
Good morning, Doug.
You're welcome.
Thank you for inviting me. And I'm glad I don't have to follow the Victoria's Secret model.
you actually are following Stephanie Rayner, who is an internationally recognized artist, who was in our most popular show last week. So don't feel any pressure. But
okay, thank you. Yeah, I'm relieved.
But you're sandwiched in between two very attractive women. But But we've got something really important to talk about. So why don't you give us a little bit of an introduction to somatic experiencing.
Okay. I think, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about, to broadcast this, because it's a fairly rare, it's still, unfortunately, kind of a West Coast thing.
Uh-huh.
And there aren't that many practitioners of somatic or body-focused therapy on the East Coast, certainly as there are in the West. And somatic experiencing, I think we have 3 practitioners in Maine, so it's a very kind of exclusive group. I think the easiest way to begin to describe what it is to look at those 2 terms, somatic and experiencing, because in a sense, that's what the way to, if you can defining those terms kind of explains both what somatic experiencing is and what the process is. And somatic, of course, is having to do with the body. And experiencing, obviously, is having experience. So in one sense, experiencing the body, which in a way everybody does, but in a focused and intentional way, is the means that somatic experiencing uses to, as you were talking about, to relieve anxiety and to help people who have high stress situations. So it's basically a process of using conscious awareness to go into physical and physiological awareness so that you can participate on a couple of levels in your own, in your self-awareness and in healing. Historically, I think somatic experience is part of there's a human potential movement that developed in the 60s and early 70s, and that was nationwide, but I think it also, there was a heavy influence on the West Coast. And one of the people who was working in that, I guess you'd say that psycho, because we're kind of interested in psycho, we're talking to psychotherapists, so the darn guys are psychotherapists, that the psycho part of psychotherapy began after Freud's kind of dominance of the field, began to take in a more inclusive view of the human being. You know, there was like the Gestalt therapy and the other human potential movements that began to broaden and become more holistic in the way that they looked at people, the way that people heal. And one of those folks was, in the early 70s, was Peter Levine. And his particular focus, he's the person who I learned from, and his particular focus was on using awareness of, well, actually he observed that animals, when they're challenged or traumatized in the wild, will react. They'll have a rapid defense reaction, but as soon as the danger is over, they calm back down. And the observation that Levine made was that humans don't calm down as easily. Right. They tend to hold on to stress and trauma. And as you know from recent medical research, that is the cause of a lot of immune and cardiovascular problems, the kind of holding on of stress in the body.
Yeah.
So, what somatic experiencing does, or what Peter Levine figured out, is by using your own conscious awareness, you can sense that stress as it's manifested and as it builds up in the body, and actually go in with your awareness and spend a little bit of time becoming familiar with the way that the body reacts to stress, and therefore, because you can begin to notice the way that you respond to things, you can begin to be able to regulate it. And the regulation happens because you're consciously attending and noticing and able to work with something that was previously automatic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way to go into the automatic part of your body, both on a psychological level where you automatically react to things, and then physiological where you have physical, healthy mostly, but physical automatic responses. So it's a way to deepen self-awareness, including awareness of how the body. Does that basically describe it? I don't know. Maybe
yeah.
That's a little long-winded.
No.
No, very good. Hughes, go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking, not at all, but it's a very complicated topic, Doug, and I just want to kind of help our listeners maybe kind of paint a picture mm-hmm. a little bit about your role in helping people with the somatic experiences. So are you kind of coaching people along, or are you encouraging them to kind of bring something in that they're dealing with actively or maybe from the past? Are you coaching them through an experience and asking them to focus on various parts of their body as they move through an experience and helping them kind of relieve some of the anxiety or stress associated with that along the way?
Yes. If there's a couple of ways that you can use this, but if somebody has, say, I mean, I'll go to relationships, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Very often, what happens is people will have another person, could be a partner, could be anybody who will kind of trigger a response in you. I don't know if I'm saying this right, but what you'll discover that you have automatic.
Yeah, they have a stimulus value for you, and they stimulate something, and there's a reaction, correct?
Right. Then, And part of that reaction, because it's automatic, the reaction happens quickly, and part of it is unconscious.
Yeah.
Now, people may know that they have a stress response and that they're uncomfortable and unhappy, but they're not able to access the feelings related to that. So say I'm sitting with somebody and they're telling me about a problem, about the way that their spouse treats them or the way that they react to something. And even as they're telling me about that, I may say, let's pause for a minute and notice, go inside of yourself and notice what you notice in your body right now. And most often what people notice is part of that reaction, maybe a little bit of tightening, or a little bit of not even being aware of your body becomes apparent. In the somatic experiencing process, you have people slow down even further at that point and begin to become familiar with how their body is while their mind is in a certain state. So it tends to balance out those two to give somebody an experience in one moment of both their physical, physiological reaction to something and their mental, so that you get a sense of a deeper understanding of the way that you respond to things.
Mm-hmm. And then does that balancing make a change in how they're experiencing, or is there something that goes beyond that next?
Excellent.
What's the next step?
So, yeah, in a way, it's a three-step process.
Okay.
It probably makes sense to spend a little bit of time talking about how that works. If I can slow myself down and maybe go kind of answer Hugh's question again, but I'm
right.
Not sure how much time we have, but this may
we've got about 12 minutes, so
yeah,
we got plenty of time.
So I'm actually doing in early May. I'm going to do a workshop, not
uh-huh.
for clinicians necessarily, but for the general public in this process.
Yep.
And so I've been, for the last couple of days, I've been thinking about how to answer that very question about how this process works and how it can be
mm-hmm.
beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at it as a process of developing presence. That means
mm-hmm.
being able to experience things. So I'm thinking about Sally Bowden-Scheibel talking about presence in her Buddhism psychology
mm-hmm.
last
right.
week. In a way, we want to establish presence, but it has a little focused purpose of going kind of inside to look at how you're responding to things. So
yeah.
The first step is to cultivate some presence. And in a way, when I was describing how the person who has some anxiety is working, is responding, to cultivate presence, you slow down and you let your awareness go not only from the experience of emotions and thoughts, but to spend some time paying attention to what you notice inside your body, to be able to recognize the whole body and to begin to be able to it's kind of like a meditation process. In fact, I call it a somatic meditation, whereas mm-hmm. you sit and then you allow, when you feel the strength of your emotions and thoughts, that you allow some of that, you allow that to be there, and then you move some awareness down into the physical body, which is slower and more mm-hmm. And calmer than the mind sometimes. So mm-hmm. the first step is to develop the ability to be present in the body and then to hold that presence there for a certain amount of time so that it doesn't just go in and then come back out, so that you can kind of regulate your ability to be in the layers of mind, emotion, and body. So mm-hmm. you can, and we're less aware of the body usually, so that my focus is on having people spend more time and be able to spend a little bit of time in the body. That's step one. Step two would be what you find there.
Mm-hmm.
And what you find in the body is, and without looking for there are trying to find symptoms necessarily to work with, what you'll find just by cultivating presence in the body, you'll find that it's very active and that it has states that are kind of high energy and expansive and filling. And then it has other states that are kind of closed, where you don't necessarily have sensation, or where you're not able to be well aware, or you even feel some kind of constriction or closedness.
Mm-hmm.
So that becoming aware that kind of dynamic exists, that the body kind of expands and contracts in a natural way, is the kind of second step for being able to be, sometimes I call it an embodiment process.
Mm-hmm.
And then along the way, once you cultivate some ability to be in the body and to notice its expansion and contraction states, you also notice that there's automatic reaction to things, that there are certain thoughts you might have, or there are certain, if you're ready to get up and do something, you feel that your body is preparing to do it. So to get familiar with the way that you have automatic response pattern. And this will take a while to cultivate, of course, because people mm-hmm. respond. You think you're more conscious of your behavior than you are, because a lot of things have an automatic set of responses to things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of stage two, is to develop that familiarity with how your body works, and especially how it works in coordination with your mind. And then your questions about the next step three, would be the change. What happens? What's the benefit of cultivating presence in the body and then being able to maintain some presence in the body and notice how it responds? Is that the change will happen, or the ability to regulate these expansions, contractions, and automatic responses comes by focusing. Particularly, say that you're in a high energy state that's creating some kind of nervousness or discomfort. I don't have time to go into exactly how it works, but when you focus on one of those states, you can actually allow, and this again is spending some time in the body, you can allow a sense of kind of expansion and anxiety to just expand further. So we actually allow things to open up further, and almost one of the models looks at it like a discharge. You can actually
mm-hmm.
let a high energy state dissipate.
Mm-hmm.
And by being present with it and allowing that to happen, you're not interfering with any constrictions that would happen about that, so that you can just kind of open up and have the experience of your own expansion. And the other part is, if you have a block, if you have something that's hard to recognize or that's keeping you from feeling an open flow, you want to do the opposite thing, and that would be to stimulate it a little bit. So if somebody's talking about I don't want to say that would be too complicated. Let's say it's a physical. It's just there's not enough time. If they say there's a physical place in your body that you're not really able to sense, or you're feeling it like a tightness in your abdomen, which is a symptom of stress sometimes, or even in your chest, that you might want to then stimulate that so that it can move and open a little bit. And that can be anything from like physically poking it to making sounds, or to just paying attention to that place again until it begins to move a little bit. So basically, so you want to expand things that are expanding, and then you want to stimulate things that aren't expanding a little bit. The whole process is to open up conscious awareness in the body so that anything it does that is self-constricting or holding patterns of tension can learn to open up in that environment of mindful awareness.
So, Doug,
and then
the
last piece.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You wanted to do the last piece. Why don't you do that?
Oh, yeah. And that's just, again, I said the third part of what you find in the body is this automatic reaction to things, automatic reactivity to things. But what you'll find by learning to be aware and to be present while you're having this reaction to a partner or something that's an automatic reaction. After a while, using this process, when you see yourself, when you're sort of able to be a witness and see yourself responding to something in a certain way, after a while, it goes from automatic to the possibility of being intentional. If you can observe yourself reacting in a certain way or having a response to something, then you're not very far away from being able to say, maybe I won't do this. And then, therefore, beginning to have some regulation over the automatic behavior, making things more intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And then, therefore, that's the kind of change. All that is to say that's where the change, I call it a change zone. That's where the change comes, when your familiarity with automatic things is enough so that you can opt not to have them happen.
So I know we're running really quick out of time here, Doug. I just and we're going to have to move to the mind on the minute here with Dr.
Sure.
Mark Keith there in a minute. I just for the clarity of our listeners, too, because I know it's a very complex subject, and,
mm-hmm.
We're talking about mind-body here. You know, most of this is done hands-off. Is that correct?
You could say it's a coaching process, but I help people track all these things I'm talking about in their own experience.
Right.
Basically,
most of it's just coaching. You're not doing hands-on stuff, because I think it's
right.
just important for our listeners to know that, because sometimes that can scare a little people.
Sure. There is a bodywork version of this.
We're
not going to have time to go into that. That does basically the same thing, but also it can be used for physical ailments and other kind of immune and endocrine system problems and things like that.
Super.
Well, one quick thing before we go, Doug. You said that there's some training. When we were talking the other day, you were saying there's some training for first responders, people who respond to traumatic events and accidents and so forth.
Thank you for remembering that. There are actually a couple of them, and the one that we're doing in Maine and New England is called Trauma First Aid. Actually,
mm-hmm.
the website to find information would be Trauma First Aid. That's AIDE.com,
mm-hmm.
and that has a listing of workshops. And there's one on April 17th that I'm going to be assisting in. It's a brief stabilization process for people who have either, you know, been in an automobile accident or disaster of some kind, where there's a high level of trauma and distress, and it's basically this process that I talked about in a very rapid way of having people ground themselves in their physical bodies so that they can be basically it's an exercise in presence, but it's not anything like spiritual presence.
Mm-hmm. I'll put a plug in for your website real quick.
Yeah, and my website, you can find me at mindmeetsbody, that's one word, .com. I'm doing a workshop on body awareness. It's called Body Awareness, Presence, and Healing on May 9th at Meadowwind in Falmouth, Maine. And tonight I'll be putting a listing in my website about that.
Great. Hey, listen, Doug, thank you very much for joining us. Fascinating topic.
You're welcome. I realize there's a lot to say about this.
Yeah, I mean, we find this just about every week that we really get a lot of information, and yet there's so much more to know, and it's the half an hour just flies by.
Yes,
so
maybe you can have me back for some specific applications of it or something like that sometime.
I would love to do that. That would be terrific. That would be terrific. And right now we're going to go to... Okay, thank you. Dr. Mark Kiefner is here with A Minute on the Mind with Dr. Mark Kiefner. Hello, Dr. Mark Kiefner.
Hi, Dr. Weaver. Hi, Hughes. How are you guys doing today?
We're well.
Doing good. How
are you? Good. You know, I just was listening to the last couple moments of Doug's talk, and what I want to talk about today is childhood abuse and neglect for a second.
Okay.
Childhood abuse and neglect, we now know, produces a series of neurochemical events that really badly alter a child's brain development. And if you just think for a minute about the stress that you feel when your life is uncertain, you know, you got a relationship uncertainty or a work uncertainty, and, you know, imagine a child living with a lot of chronic uncertainty or even fear. What happens is you get very high levels of cortisol in the brain, and that disrupts the development of the neocortex, which is the outer covering of the brain. And it disrupts the development of the hippocampus and the amygdala, which are responsible for memory function and emotional development. And it disrupts the development of the frontal limbic connections. And those are designed to help regulate our emotions. So when you've got improper development of those structures, what happens is the child becomes an adult who's more vulnerable to a variety of things, including anxiety, depression, ADHD, post-traumatic stress, relationship problems, substance abuse issues, because what happens is you've got a nervous system that isn't really well enough developed to modulate all that stuff effectively. So, as I'm sure Doug made very clear today, those patterns of nervous system dysfunction are really outside our conscious awareness, and they really require a treatment that recognizes that fact. And I think Doug talked about that. So Doug's website, I think, has some very good information on that and some links. And, of course, there's a ton more information than you could ever talk about in a minute. So that's my Minute on the Mind for today, guys.
Another terrific Minute on the Mind. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. See you later.
Okay.
Take care.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
Okay. All right, Hughes, we're once again winding down here with our show, another great show, lots of great information.
Boy, these half hours go so fast, Jim. They're just jam-packed
I know.
Information.
I know.
Riveting.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to go back and re-listen to this show, too, as you know, our listeners can do that as well. Just going to go back and grab a download.
Right, you know, if you think that there's somebody that you would like to hear this, remember that there, you know, this show is archived, and you can and anybody that you know can tune into it 24/7. Just go to darnguys.com. Okay, Hughes, we'll get together here again next Monday morning with Tunde Schwartz talking about Pilates and the health benefits of that, mental health as well as physical health, and getting yourself in shape. So hopefully you'll join us then. And once again, we'll have Megan Jo Wilson take us away. This gives me some somatic experiencing. I can really feel this music in my body. So enjoy the music and look forward to hearing from you again.
Keep your stress down. Thank you, everybody.
All right, Hughes. Bye-bye.
Well, in the evening, we get together. Long day at work, you leave behind. My bones are aching. Your back is tired. Take my me away.